This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the code CAST.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Scott Johnson.
And we are joined once again by Brian Dunaway, cartoonist and host of Comics Coast to Coast and co-host of Film Sack, Coast to Good to Good to Coast to Coast. Welcome, Brian.
Coast in there. As I like to call it, the CC2C.
All right.
Excellent. Also back with us is Eric. Van Skyhawk, a.k.a. Hawkito, co-host of App Slappy, and as we learned last episode, advertising kingpin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, Eric. Yeah.
Hello. How is everybody?
I was beginning to wonder.
I thought maybe you left.
Well, you know, that introduction was so underwhelming. I just thought it was.
I think we may call him advertising Maven.
Maven? Yeah. You like that?
Maven. I don't even know what that means.
I gotta look it up. Call me Draper, Don Draper.
It's one of the new classes coming in the advertising version of Warcraft.
Ah.
By the way, he really is the Don Draper of that place. In fact, Eric, was your company not the one that sort of was the inspiration for the 60s vision of Mad Men?
Yeah, my agency was founded in like 1880.
Wow.
Yeah, they've been there a while.
They invented advertising.
Yeah. Excuse me while I drink a little bit of my pop. Coke.
Soda.
Pepsi. Soda.
Soda.
All right. We've got emails. We get them all the time to forecastpodcast@gmail.com. Here's one from Iceland. Christopher in Reykjavik writes in, says, I predict that within the next 100 years, we will have just one time zone, global time for the entire planet. Global time will result in a much smoother business environment. We will never have to calculate what time a particular event in a different part of the country or world will occur. If you live in a country that uses daylight savings time, then the schedule is just moved forward backward by 1 hour at the relevant dates rather than everyone having to adjust their clocks. Just remember to set the alarm clock again.
Dude, Christopher is my hero. I believe in this like none other. This is brilliant. This is how it should be. Why we're still doing what we do drives me crazy. Arizona stands alone in their fight.
Yes, baby.
Ridiculous thing. So all you farmers that still love it, go plant some corn. Everything's fine.
Wait, but is he talking like it's 12 p.m. here in New Jersey? It's 12 p.m. in China, too?
Yes.
Yeah, he's talking Swatch time.
That is crazy.
Well, that
is. Do you remember the Swatch clock?
Yes. Yeah,
we're supposed to change everything.
In other words, 4 is 4, and 16 is 16, if that's the hour, no matter where you are.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah. It wouldn't be 5 o'clock somewhere anymore, right?
It'd be 5 o'clock everywhere
at the same time.
So what he's saying is apply the notion of days to this. So if it's Wednesday everywhere, it's Wednesday. It isn't Wednesday-ish.
I think it has to work the other way, right? Which is the time stays the same, but when it becomes Wednesday changes from place to place. Because if everywhere is 5 o'clock at the same time, well, that's going to be midnight somewhere. So in that place, the next day starts at 5.
Right. So that place would be felt forced. So it would be the trick would be who's going to get the normal dates? Like
who's
going
to get the shaft?
Yeah, right. That's like World War III there.
England.
We're not going to go sleeping in the a.m.
We created Greenwich Mean Time. We get the real day.
That's true.
They would demand it.
That's true.
And we would say, we'll kick their butts.
I like it. Very thought-provoking, Christopher. Good job. Send us your prediction, why don't you? Email forecastpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, no, I'm talking to you. You, the person at the gym listening right now or sitting at your desk. Send us a prediction. Forecastpodcast@gmail.com. Or post at forecastpodcast.com. I do have to say, you are more likely to get your prediction read if it's fairly short.
Yeah.
We get some really interesting long predictions, and I'm not saying I don't like them because sometimes they're really edifying. You guys are incredibly smart out there, but to read them on the show, it's got to be kind of short.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, time for the long-term predictions. These are long-term sci-fi, weird, strange, turn your world upside down sorts of things. 1,500 years, I guess, if you need a timeline, but really just kind of the longer-term stuff. Let's start with Eric Van Skyhawk. What do you see in our longer-term future?
I was thinking about that.
Oh, good.
I was looking down at my phone. That's lucky for us. Like, I have my phone with me 24/7 pretty much, right? And it has a GPS in it. And I believe in the future, everybody will have a GPS implanted in their body somewhere.
Whoa.
And we will know where everybody is at the exact any time of day type of thing.
Just like
we're
dogs.
Always wanting to put stuff in our bodies. What's up with that?
Cool. I figured, like, you know, we like I have a dog that has one of those microchips under his skin where like,
if he gets lost,
he gets you can scan to see where he belongs and whatnot. And I figured, like, today, like, I know parents were giving their kids iPhones because of the whole mobile me, where is my iPhone type of thing, GPS technology, so they can know where their kids are. So I think it's going to be like maybe in a, you know, in the future, like your baby is born and they put a GPS chip in there somewhere. I don't know where exactly, but
lots of baby fat. Then, you can put it.
Nobody will freak out about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's going to come out of a concern for the well-being of the child. It's not going to be like the old, you know, nobody's going to. I mean, maybe I know, and I see in the future there's going to be a big backlash, and there's going to be hackers who will like figure out how to get around the GPS system.
I'm sure circumcision was thought as a really weird thing the first time somebody suggested that, but that became very popular somehow. So this chip under the skin sort of thing is nothing compared to that.
Yeah, this is nothing. Yeah, we're having stuff.
Yeah, I'm enjoying my circumcision personally.
Who isn't?
I'm enjoying your circumcision. Throw this out there real quick about this GPS idea. I don't think you're wrong. I think the ability to find and track each other is becoming more and more prominent even now. But what is the benefit to you to be chipped? Like, how are you benefiting from being located by everyone else? And to me, for this technology to really attach itself, there needs to be a reason that I want to be so visible on a global level versus just everyone else being able to find me or me being able to find everybody else. What is the direct advantage of me in your
I think it's not going to be like a 20-year-old man is going to go get this one of this GPS implanted in him. It's going to be when kids are born. It's going to be kind of like it's going to be slowly ingrained into society as these kids get older. They're going to have these GPS chips in them, so it's going to kind of like they're going to live with it. It's going to be part of the society. I think of it kind of like the caller ID. Remember when the caller ID first came?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of controversial.
You guys have caller ID?
Yeah, but you guys, if you didn't know who was calling you, you know, and so now everybody has it and everybody knows who's calling. And it's like, you know, we accept that technology. I don't know too many people who block their caller IDs. Do you guys block it?
I actually don't have caller ID on my home phone.
Interesting.
But I do have it on my cell phone because that's just the way cell phones work.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of like that. It's going to become an accepted technology and not like a whole, I mean, at first it might be a privacy issue, but then people are going to get over it type of thing.
I think
it's going to be like, you know,
it's going to be kind of scary.
Yeah, it's going to be like your boss is going to know where you are. You're like, oh, I'm on my way. No, you're not. You're at your home.
I was thinking to get people to do it, I mean, you could easily scare parents. I mean, parents are so scared of losing their kids. I mean, it would be totally easy to talk a parent into going, okay, look, not mandatory, but hey, we can put a tracking unit in your child while he's at the hospital. And, you know, whatever. It may dissolve after so long. Who knows? Whatever. They want to tell us. But, yeah, totally. I mean, you could definitely get that into society through just scaring parents, because parents will do anything.
This reminds me of a movie a little bit. Like, I've seen movies where they do this. So, like, let's say the chip is just under the skin on your hand. And if you truly don't want to be found, now the FBI found out that you were in a store one day and you stole a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Just cut your hand off, leave it in the bushes.
Oh, totally. No problem.
Yeah.
And then your own punishment.
I think this happened in a movie I saw where they had a tracking bracelet on somebody's leg and they cut their foot off.
There's so many books and movies I've read where they have to dig out the chip. I was just reading Generation A by Douglas Coupland. And in that book, six people are brought together in this island, and then they all realize that they have tracking devices in them. So they all, you know, pretty much operate on each other and dig out the chip.
Ugh.
Yeah.
See,
the thing is, you think about it, it can also prove somebody's innocence.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, there's going to have good sides and bad sides to it. All I'm saying is What you'll end up with is, instead of people fighting each other, it'll be people trying to take the satellites out of the sky and the government suppressing the people so they can't fire, you know, shoot these things out of the sky. Assuming that's the technology we're going to use. But in 100 years, who knows if like satellites are even going to be the way to track people. Maybe there's a new way, like, I don't know, some kind of DNA tracking with some kind of infrared scanner hovering over the earth or who knows what. But whatever that ends up being.
Just follow your skin
scares
cells.
The crap out of me.
It doesn't even have to be an injection, actually. They're already starting to figure out how to be able to identify who was using a keyboard based on the skin cells that are left behind after you type. Yeah. In the future, they could just be able to, you know, send this kind of Hoover robot around to follow skin cells and be like, yeah, you were there. Got your
what
skin
is that?
Cells.
That movie was a Gattaca? Gattaca?
Yeah. Gattaca. Great movie.
Good times.
Great movie, yeah. I love that movie because that movie explores a lot of what we talk about on this show, and that movie also scares the living poo out of me. But I try to temper my fear of this kind of Big Brother technology with understanding that a new generation of people coming behind us may have no problem with this stuff, because right now they're the ones that are putting everything out on Facebook and MySpace and on their phone.
Foursquare, Gawala, that type of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. They're comfortable with this idea of sending a naked picture of themselves over their text phone and thinking that the only people in the world are going to see it are the two people. In a way, they're super naive, but they're also putting themselves out there on purpose in a lot of ways, and I feel like that will prepare that generation and its subsequent generation to be okay with a lot of this crazy stuff.
We were talking about this on This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte at South by Southwest, how the older generation views privacy as something that you have and that you can opt into relinquishing in certain cases because you think it's worthwhile, whereas the younger generation thinks of privacy as something you don't have, but you can occasionally opt into protecting it.
Yeah.
That's a totally different mindset.
Totally right. Yeah, it's complete opposite. And I think I heard that too. That's dead true. And I don't know what that means. Like, does that mean what does that mean for a society? What does that mean for the future of mankind? I don't know yet.
Well, if everyone assumes something the same way and everybody operates, then society usually goes along just fine. If you know, they figure out these are the rules. I mean, there's a lot, as we've learned by discovering cultures and creating this global society where we all know how each other live, there are lots of different ways to live and had lots of different ways to set up the rules of your society that are internally consistent and work just fine. The trouble comes when, you know, the neighbors come over and start saying, hey, you're not playing by our rules, now you need to. And then you start throwing sticks and stones at each other.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, you're doing it wrong, totally.
Yep.
That is the cause of war right there. You're doing it wrong. All right, let's take sorry, Scott, go ahead.
No, I should say that sums it up exactly. If you think about it, every major conflict in this world is the other side saying you're doing it wrong.
Totally.
I love
That's
it.
That's right.
Just boil down the essence of war into a single sentence. Throw away all the
war.
Throw away art
you're
of war.
You're doing it wrong.
All that stuff. We've done it here on Forecast. This is a seminal moment in podcasting.
We're done.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We've
Good night.
I want that T-shirt. War, colon.
You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
How about just war colon? That'd work for me, too.
War colon, yeah.
War with my colon sometimes, I'll tell you that. Yuck, 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 yuck.
It's funny that this Skyhawk Hawkatoo, what do you mean to call you?
Hawkatoo.
I call you Hawkatoo. I call you Hawkatoo. I do whenever I read it. I'm sorry. Hawk, what is it again?
Eric.
No, I know his name, Eric, but what? How do you say it? It's not Hawkatoo. What is it?
Hawkito.
Hawkito. Okay, Hawkito.
You had to say it with an accent.
Yeah, Hawkito. Earlier, Hawkito was talking about communication.
Yeah.
And I was going to say this. It's odd because that's one of the notes I made. I think that from the early 1900s to around maybe 2100s, let's say, that will be known in the future, because I think we're going to reach apex on our communication. I mean, we're already able to communicate so well with people so far away. I think this is going to be known as the Great Communication Age. I think this is going to be the time that they're going to look back and go, wow, we really made huge strides in communication, and we can't believe everything before then.
I think you're right. I think we are transitioning in a way from an industrialized age to an informational type age. And one of the ways that people are doing that is with blogs. This episode happens to be brought to you by Squarespace.com, which is a fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. They've got an easy-to-use UI for creating and managing a website or blog, optimized for beginners, or if you're really into the whole CSS thing, you want to control every last pixel on your page, You can do it that way, too. You can get right there and into the CSS. Hundreds of design templates, all-inclusive services. You can put in a forum. You can put in a photo gallery. They've got all kinds of widgets and stuff you can mess around with. We use it for forecastpodcast.com, not because they're a sponsor. I actually paid for it. I should have waited. but anyway, it's a way for you to handle your blog, and they can modulate sort of the bandwidth as it gets more popular and less popular. You can even import your old blog from WordPress Blogger, Movable Type, and Typepad, among others. If you'd like to try it out, you're like, I'm not convinced, Merritt, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. You don't need a credit card. Just try it out for a couple weeks. See how you like it. If you want to keep it, purchase it and get 10% off when you enter the offer code CAST. That's CAST at squarespace.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord of Transitions, Tom Merritt.
That was amazing.
That was beautimous.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm not good at is transitioning back out.
Yeah, no, that's the hard part. Okay, yeah. I was going to say I was going to go sign up for a website and I was going to help you out there.
You know what else you get 10% off? Hakito's predictions.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't work.
Limited time only.
Yes, it is time for your long-term predictions. Eric, what do you got for us?
Oh, isn't it Brian?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're not doing Brian. We're having you go. Twice. No, I totally messed it up. Yes, we're going to you, Brian. Brian Dunaway.
Long term predictions. You guys, what'd you rate it? Like around 1,000 years or more?
50 to 100, but sure. 1,000.
Okay, 50 to 100. That's even better.
Well, because the third episode's crazy ass. So you can have a really long prediction as long as it's not crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so long as it's not crazy, I got you. All right, so anyway, I'm thinking the next 900 years are going to be defined as the true space age. I think we're just on the tip of doing this. I think in 200 years, space flight will be cheap enough for entertainment for the masses. You want to go out and look at the satellites? Go out and look at the satellites. Those people who got a little more money, they're going to get slingshotted around the moon. I really see this happening. 300 years, colonization of the moon. I think it's not going to be total colonization just yet. I don't think we're going to go to Mars. Everybody's talking about Mars. Mars is much more hospitable. I don't agree with that in the fact that history will prove the future. People did not immediately go to the greenest and luscious places whenever they spread out on this planet. We went to the places that was the closest, and we found a way to make it.
So what's closer?
What's that?
What's closer? Well,
the moon. The moon is closer than Mars.
Oh, so you think we'll go to the moon first. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go to the moon first by far. I mean, people, everybody's jumping and saying, hey, let's just travel to Mars. Forget Mars. Put our money and go into the moon. The moon has water. That's all we need. If we got water, we can make anything work. Because I think in maybe around 500 years or so, I think it'll be commonplace to head to the moon. And I think a lot of the power that will be generated on the moon will either be sunlight or will be steam. Because I think we'll find a way. And don't think steampunk on the moon. I'm thinking much more advanced steam equipment that doesn't lose steam. If you're losing steam out of your equipment, you're doing it wrong. And that starts a war. You don't want that. So I'm like I said, I see colonization of the moon in the next 500 years or so, and then from what we've learned in this 1,000-year span of getting our feet wet in outer space and colonizing and having that out there, then we'll make that next step, going to Mars, possibly, or another planet, and really terraforming something. So I think in about 1,000 years, we're looking at terraforming planets.
Well, if I learned anything from Total Recall, Mars is the place where three-breasted women will be.
My favorite.
Yeah, I
have to disagree with you there, Scott. If I've learned anything from Douglas Adams, the triple-breasted whores come from Erotica 6.
Oh,
good argument.
Yeah, that's a good point. And think about that. But Ronnie Cox's rotting corpse is on the surface of Mars.
That's true. You know, it's interesting what you were saying, Brian, about the steam power, because I was reading an article in Scientific American about fusion and how they think they're getting close enough to actually make fusion work, so that they squeeze the nucleus of an atom together, and it releases energy. That is essentially kind of what goes on in a fusion bomb. But this is more a controlled reaction. There's problems with it, which are how do we build something that can withstand all the radiation and not get brittle and all of that? But they would make the energy heat water, which would create steam, and steam would move turbines and provide the power. So really, everything kind of comes back to steam in the end, even nuclear power.
Yep. It's all about the water. I mean, we depend on water 100%. I mean, if you've got water, you got life. If you got, you know, and it's
good.
Yeah. No water, no life. This is how it is.
Because the second way the wars get started is not you're doing it wrong, but you have water and I don't.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to be kind of scary. I want to say the Chinese, I foresee the Chinese as a society as being the first to want to go to the moon, because there's no really places left on Earth to really, you know, land grab. So I see them having the greatest motivation. And right now they have the best economy to do it and the motivation to become a superpower in the eyes of the world. And so I think they've got the most motivation to do it. I don't know if they'll be the first person to do it, but I think they'll be probably the biggest faction of colonization on the moon.
Wow.
Mm. Lots of Asian moon people.
Okay, sounds good.
There'll be lots of fake Louis Vuitton bags on the moon then?
Possibly.
Well, I think actually that the moon will then revolt against the U.S. or China or whatever against the Earth.
I definitely think whoever is on the moon, the colonization moon, will definitely – I mean, we've seen it in the past. Once again, predictor of the future. It's going to be the past. I think once you get that far away from the country, you know, on Earth, I mean, the life will be totally different on the moon. It won't be like it is here. It'll be a much tougher, much harder life. And those people will be expecting things, you know, and they'll be expecting, you know, it's like, hey, we're out here doing all the work. Why aren't we sending any money back? And so, I do think there will be a definite separation and a creation of a new, I guess you could say, country or a new, since we define them by countries right now, I don't know exactly what you would call it. But
it would be a country just like the United States. I actually wrote a novel that I'm still trying to finish up. It's kind of in draft form available, called United Moon Colonies. And it was essentially all these colonies on the moon revolt and form their own country on the moon because they're like, we understand what's going on. You imperialist powers down there on Earth, you don't understand what the crap we're going through up here. Leave us alone. We're going to band together. And it's sort of based on that idea of how the United States got formed.
Wow. See, we think alike. Have I read your book? I secretly read your book and didn't know it.
No, I doubt that.
No, I very seriously doubt that. No,
nobody's read that book.
Just your mom and dad, right?
Not even them.
Not even them.
So
my dog walker read it and gave it back to me proofed with a bunch of, you know, correcting errors. I'm like, you know what? I really need to do this before I print it out.
Oh, that's nice. I predict Tom Merritt will sell that book one day.
Oh, it's for sale on Lulu.com, but you don't want to buy it. It's all full of spelling errors and stuff.
Oh, well, like I care.
But actually,
I'm reading Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, and that book has been around for, 8 years or something? I don't know. It's been around for a while, and this is not the first printing of this thing. And just reading it, I found at least 3 typos. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. All the people who have read this book, it's been a number one bestseller, and it still has typos in it.
That'll be one of the cool things of digital technology, right? Is you'll be able to correct those on the fly and just push out an update.
There you go.
Yeah, or change.
There's an update to your book.
They should crowdsource that. So by the time you're done with it, people are adding lines in there and fan fiction and Harry Potter and Hermione went and made out behind the bush. That kind of stuff show up everywhere.
That's the future I'd like to see.
They push out new endings. Like, oh, yeah, I know how that book ends. I read it. Have you?
Yeah.
Have you read it recently?
Have you ever read version 3.0?
The Wikipedia version? Have you read that one?
Yeah. Wiki novels.
But those are my predictions. Oh, yeah, and 1,000 years from now, laser moon.
What's laser moon?
Well, I predicted laser oven last time. I thought I would predict laser moon.
So how would laser moon?
If you add laser to the beginning of anything, I think it sounds more futuristic.
True.
Laser moon sounds like it's already like an anime that I just haven't heard of yet.
The sequel to Sailor Moon.
Yep.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us for another long-term prediction. We got one more episode next week to go. I'm looking forward to it, the crazy-ass predictions. Brian Dunaway, where can folks find your work on the internet?
They can find me at comicscoasttocoast.com or guyinabush.com or briandunaway.com if you really want to get down to it. That's where I point to everything that I do.
That is
or missiondeep.com or studiom80.com or a whole bunch of other stuff you've never told anyone about.
Yeah, I have kind of have like this buy-and-domain problem. I need help.
Believe me, I'm right there with you, man.
Don't forget to use the code WOW1 when buying your domains.
What about, I know, App1. What are you talking about?
Oh, App1. All right. App1.
Frog1. Yeah, so Eric Van Skyhawk, you also have a mini empire on the web, do you not?
Yeah, it's slowly growing, but very small compared to you guys. It's like a small country. Yeah. It's like the Canary Islands compared to you guys.
How do we get to this country?
Huh?
How do we get to this country?
Yeah.
Twitter.com/Hakito, HAWKITO.
How do you say that again?
I'm sure.
Hakitu.
Of course, Frogpants Studios and Subbrilliant Media combining to create this monstrosity that you're listening to. Scott, go ahead and plug something.
Sure. Go to frogpants.com to find links to not only Forecast, but all the other things happening at frogpants.com. And happy to announce this week that Brian's own Comics Coast to Coast has joined. I guess it's not this week. Whenever it was, a week ago, we added his show to the Frogpants Network. Good stuff happening over there. So if you're into podcasting, there's bound to be another show you might find your liking.
I also do a show on the Frogpants Network called Current Geek, which last week we premiered our first episode on the Twit Network Fridays at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And, of course, Current Geek also comes to you 3 days a week in bite-size form.
That's right.
What time would that be on Swatch?
Yeah, on Swatch, it'd be midnight in Zimbabwe.
It would be triangle.
Wait. Just do the Sony game controller time.
Yeah. What time is it? It's 3:30 triangle.
I don't know what this means. Why did I buy a Swatch?
What's the laser pointing at?
The laser's pointing at the little kitty cat icon. TomMerritt.com has got all the stuff that I do if you want to go there. Don't forget to leave comments at our website for this podcast, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email to forecastpodcast@gmail.com. For Brian, for Eric, for Scott, thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you next week.
All right.
But it's only 32 years away.